Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's hump day, Wednesday, November 19th, 2008. The only November 19th, 2008 in the history of humanity. Welcome in tonight on night number two of the Gospel Revolution Fall Pledge Drive. Glad to have you with us. Glad to be back in the Bay of the Holy Spirit. That is the original name, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, of Tampa Bay. And it was quite the journey that I had from the undisclosed location. My flight from Rhinelander to Minneapolis was delayed, and I had about 10 minutes to get from Terminal B at the Twin Cities Airport to Terminal G. G is in Glenn. And that normally doesn't happen. As I am sprinting with my backpack, with my laptop on my back, with my carry-on, I hear the announcement, last call for flight 438 to Tampa. You should be on the plane if you're planning on getting back to Florida. So with that, I thought, well, you know what, I'm just going to try it. And I am busting my butt to get there because I had been gone for 12 days. And I was ready to get home. By the time I got to my gate, I was dripping wet with sweat. And as I approached the agent behind the counter, she said, "Are you Glenn Klein?" And I said, "Yes, I am." She said, "Get on the plane." And so there I was on the way from Minneapolis to Tampa. And by the way, with about 50 Minnesota Vikings fans, because the Vikings were playing the Buccaneers last Sunday. And so they were in a partying mood. So I was amidst the enemy, if you will, and had quite the time as the one of the only Buccaneer fans on that flight. But for those of you who follow the National Football League, you know that my Buccaneers did prevail on Sunday, and those Viking fans did not go home so happy. And I have a great Minnesota Vikings joke, which is more of a visual gag, so I will not repeat it here. But, of course, I had to stand up, and I did say, "Attention, all you Minnesota Vikings fans." And I did make the joke. And I wasn't real popular at that point. But nonetheless, made it home safe and sound on Friday. Glad to be back in the official Glenn Klein online studios with you tonight. And night number two of the Gospel Revolution Fall Pledge Drive. It'd be nice to have the Gospel Revolution founder and president with us. A little concerned, I must say, because no Michael Williams. So if anybody knows where Michael is, perhaps you can give us a call at 1-800-436-3260. We are going to carry on and try to get Michael on as quickly as possible. But I can tell you that we've made a nice dent in our goal over the next 3 weeks of raising $17,500, which is the operating budget for this not-for-profit organization. We had an extremely generous pledge come in from Hong Kong from Dr. Li Lau, which increased Lee's monthly giving considerably, which takes us to a total so far of $2,620 coming in towards our $17,500. For gifts, ladies and gentlemen, of $100 or more, whether it be in one-time giving or in monthly pledges. Now, we've asked everybody, if you received the email in the last day or so, we've asked everybody to contribute at least $10 a month. And as we pointed out on the email, that it's just literally the price of a couple of cocktails a month or a few cups of coffee or a trip to McDonald's with the family. If everybody who's been positively affected by the Gospel Revolution will ante up just $10 a month, we'll be done with this pledge drive quickly. That's what we're asking you to do, and it's very easy to do. All you do is go to gospelrevolution.com, and we're going to be talking about the webpage momentarily. But all you do is go to gospelrevolution.com, click on donations, and then just do your best. You make a one-time gift, you make your monthly donation. For gifts of $100 or more, totaling $100 or more, You will receive free and postage paid the thank you CD, freed from your own faith, just freshly off the presses, freed from your own faith, 1-800-436-3260, with Michael absent right now, or at least tardy, I would sure appreciate somebody getting on the phone to talk to me. We'll take any of your questions, whether you want to make a pledge or not. Would love to hear from somebody right now so that I don't have to do this vamping all by myself until we get a hold of the founder and president of the Gospel Revolution. 1-800-436-3260. We'll carry the ball. We'll carry the water for Michael until we get a hold of him. Our producer and engineer and call screener extraordinaire is chasing down Michael as we speak, Sean O'Halloran. But Sean has the time and will take your calls on the Glenn Klein online toll-free hotline at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. Not only do we need your help tonight financially, but I need your help right now to make this a much more enjoyable and interesting webcast by having more than my voice on it. 1-800-436-3260 is the Glenn Klein online toll-free hotline. It is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. We come to you quarterly to ask to help with the operating expenses of the Gospel Revolution, and we need your help. So 1-800-436-3260, who will call and help me out here as we wait for Michael to get on. Michael has now notified Sean that he'll be home in about 10 minutes, so at least we know he's alive and not in heaven right now. That's good. But he is en route. So let's welcome him with a call. Who's going to be first up? It always takes somebody a moment, or it takes somebody to be the first caller to get the momentum going, I should say. We would love to hear from you to get the ball on the snowball going, if you will. 1-800-436-3260. Have you gone to the gospelrevolution.com website to see the refreshment that has occurred? Our webmaster, Tim Pruitt, has done an amazing job, not only talking about the Gospel Revolution Convention, we have the pictures up from the convention. We have the new 20 CD set promoted. Yes, over 20 hours of pure gospel goodness for only $160. All the information about the Gospel Revolution Convention CD series is up there. And you can simply go to gospelrevolution.com and see that. We've got the pictures. We've got the Gospel Revolution Convention official T-shirt. It is finished T-shirt. Also available to you, the refrigerator magnets, the bumper stickers, the window decals. We got it rocking and rolling now, folks. And pretty soon we're going to be having our email contest. Just after the first of the year, we're going to be putting into effect good old-fashioned word-of-mouth marketing. And we are going to encourage everybody to forward the gospelrevolution.com website address to everybody they know so that we spread the word, so to speak. And then for every 10 that you send in, you're going to be able to get a free teaching or a free T-shirt, but we are going to really encourage you to do what needs to be done, which is to spread the word. I had a tremendous experience over the weekend. When I was in high school, my high school radio station, my high school had an actual radio station on it, and I was going into radio, and a fellow by the name of Bill Mitchell ran the radio station, and he was just a terrific guy and is a terrific guy. And I found out that the radio station is having the 50th anniversary of WMTH in Park Ridge, Illinois. So the guy that sent me the email, I responded to him and told him that I would like to get involved. And was Mr. Mitchell still around? Well, on Saturday, I got a call from Mr. Mitchell, and he was aware about 15 years ago that I had gotten into religion. You know, as this Jewish kid that he had been a teacher of, he was probably not shocked because he had so many teachers, but I got a call from him on Saturday, and I was able to tell him about my sojourn, and he was so interested. And then he sent out a letter retelling our conversation to many of my old teachers with the GospelRevolution.com website attached. And so he was able to share with a lot of my former teachers that here this guy who had become a religious zealot had now come clean and told the story about how I went back to the original languages and found out that what I was teaching was not true. So that was very exciting. And this is how it can happen, beautiful humans. You tell one person, they tell somebody else. And we, as we mentioned at the convention, really feel like we're right on target. We're right where we need to be as we continue to encourage people to get involved. And we're encouraging you to get involved tonight with night number two of the GospelRevolution.com fall pledge drive. We're raising $17,500. We're at 2420. Excuse me, 2620 on our way to 17.5. We've had contributions from George Howell of BoldGrace.com. We've had contributions from Dr. Lee Lau, which was greatly appreciated. And so we want to also encourage you as well. Please get on the horn. 1-800-436-3260. We're waiting for Michael. And now we do want to welcome on our Wisconsin correspondent of the Gospel Revolution, my good buddy Pep Washburn from Wisconsin. Pep!
Yeah, I'm calling from an undisclosed location here in the North Woods.
Yeah, it's you're undisclosed. Michael's really undisclosed because we don't know where he is. We know he's on his way home, but apparently it slips his mind that tonight was the night where we tried to raise money for his organization. But no, we're glad
listen,
to have
I've
you.
I've got a little challenge going on here.
All right.
You get yourself another caller in here in 10 minutes or callers, and I'll match up to $200.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right, well, let's do that before Mike gets on line three then. If we get another caller, Pep will match all gifts up to $200, 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. Pep Washburn is going to match gifts up to $200 for night number two. Well, that's fantastic, Pep. And of course, Pepe, you missed the convention because you took a little ill, actually pretty seriously ill, but I'm glad to report that you're feeling better, and you are feeling better, right?
Yes, I am. I guess what I had kills one out of 25 people, but it didn't get me, obviously.
Well, you would have been reporting from a really undisclosed location at that point, in that case.
Right. You know, I was thinking about the financial situation with Gospel Revolution, and I used to, as you know, Glenn, I used to run a ministry, and one of the biggest burdens of any ministry in what they're attempting, or you know, outreach and what they're attempting to do, is the financial burden on that ministry's mind. It can really pull down what the vision that a person or a group of people have. So I really want to encourage people to get involved now. Don't hesitate. In fact, meet my matching pledge tonight.
Well, that is fantastic, Pep, that you are going to match any gifts here in the next 10 minutes while you're on the phone. Sean, please let us know as soon as somebody calls up. Pep's going to match anything up to $200 until we get Michael on the phone. And so we really want to encourage you folks to please take advantage of Pep's challenge right now by calling 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. 3260 because your donation is going to be doubled, folks, here by Pep Washburn. Pep, I know how much you have fed on the gospel that Mike has taught us over all these years. And I'm wondering how excited you are to get the CD series on the convention, realizing that it's going to be 20 CDs.
Oh, yeah. I'm really looking forward to it, Glenn. There's going to be, as you mentioned, on your website, you listed a bunch of names of the people who will be featured on the CDs, and I'm looking forward to hearing what each of them has to say. I'm hoping that I'll even hear from Bud and Ruth Ramsey up in North Dakota. I've been in touch with them by email as to their opinion of what happened at the convention, and they were very, very excited about it and very blessed. And we're actually trying to talk Mike into moving the convention a little bit more centralized next year. I don't know if that's going to happen, but we hope so.
Well, if you were like Arlene and Kim Baker and came from Australia, Houston was nicely centralized. You know, I'm not from Australia, from Hawaii. And Houston was nicely centralized for them.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, but we had such a fantastic time. Bud and Ruth were terrific. We had so many wonderful people that came from all over the world, and we're already planning next year. We've decided that we're going to have it be Thursday through Sunday morning instead of Wednesday, so that'll reduce people's expenses. And plus, one thing we discovered, Pep, about the Gospel Revolution folks is that we don't need outside speakers. As much as we enjoyed Harold Lovelace and Carlton Pearson, we don't need anybody else. We have so many fantastic speakers. And by the way, all you people, you beautiful humans that shared at all, at the convention, you're on that CD series, and your names are listed right now at the GospelRevolution.com webpage. And one of those people is on the other line. We have Howard Wirsch from Dawson, Manitoba. Howard! Howard, you there? Hello? Pep, are you there?
I am here, but it's quite difficult to hear you.
Yeah, I'm wondering what happened to Howard.
Hey, I'm here.
Oh, there's hey, Howard. How are you doing, Howard?
Hey, I'm doing great. I can hardly hear you guys, though.
Yeah, well, say hello to Pep. We're having a little bit of technical difficulties, not least of which is our president and founder, Mike Williams, is maybe the rapture happened, Howard, and he's gone.
Oh.
Howard, I have a question for you. This is Pep Washburn from Wisconsin. Where are you located in Canada?
Dawson, Manitoba.
Manitoba. I am just finishing up a book dealing with the full, complete redemption of the world. It is a fictional biography writing. Hope to have it completely done by Christmas, and maybe off to some publisher if possible. But it takes place in Manitoba.
No kidding.
Yeah.
What part?
Well, northern part of Manitoba, the little town of Broche on Reindeer Lake.
Oh, I know where Broche is, yeah. Well,
yeah.
That's quite north.
Oh, yes, it's quite north. I've been up that way, and the book deals with the letters of an old fellow writing to a young man, and the perspectives of the old man is he sees that, you know, God's encompassing love of the entire world. The young man is steeped in the traditions of standard Christianity and the divisive exclusiveness of Christianity, and through these letters, the young man is enlightened to God's universal love for all of mankind.
Oh, I would be so pumped to get a copy of that book.
Well, we will make that available to everybody. Howard and his wife, Manda, Pep, were at the convention in Houston. And first of all, let's take care of business, Howard. You wanted to take advantage of Pep's challenge to match up to $200. What were you going to pledge towards the pledge drive tonight?
Well, let's just meet it right now. Let's do $200.
Oh, fantastic. We just raised $400 for the Gospel Revolution,
right,
ladies and gentlemen. That is fantastic.
Very good.
So, Pep, I'm going to let you go, but call back in a little while when Michael gets back on, because right now we got all the phone lines tied up, so we're going to get Mike on that line. And when listen on, Pep, and when we got a phone line free, call back so you can call talk to Michael, too, okay?
All right. I think you said I should call back. I could hardly hear you. But we'll sign out so somebody else can call in there.
Now call back when Michael gets back on here, all right, Pep?
Yep. Bye.
All right, there goes Pep. But Howard, how are you and Mandel doing?
We're doing awesome. Thank you.
That's fantastic. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to realize that all the anticipation and whatever nervousness and anxiety that takes place when you make a plan for an event, I had in my heart as I headed down the elevator to the convention site, and the first people that I met was Howard and Amanda Wirsch with a Greeting Beautiful Humans t-shirt that they had specially made for me. And have you seen the t-shirt on the website now, Howard?
I haven't yet, no. I'm sorry, I haven't gone there yet.
Yeah, just go to gospelrevolution.com. And
gone there?
You'll see a picture of me wearing the shirt. You'll see a picture of you and Manda. And it was absolutely tremendous. It was so heartwarming to be recognized by you guys that way, and I so appreciate it. Why don't you give the Beautiful Humans, Howard, a little bit of a taste of what you guys experienced in Houston? It was literally 2 weeks ago tonight that the convention started. What did you guys come away with? And just give the folks an idea of what you experienced.
Well, first of all, I got to have the pleasure of meeting you and Greg Ambergy and Mike, of course, when we first walked into the hotel there, the Marriott, down at Greens Point, and it was just cool to meet you guys, first of all, and then shortly after that, after we had checked into our room, we walked outside and Mike had pulled up with Carlton Pearson, and so we felt like we were the greeting crew. But honestly, it was a great time. We really enjoyed ourselves. I think the highlight was just to get to meet so many people from all around the world. It was just an awesome time to enjoy everyone's fellowship and just to meet everybody. And of course, aside from that, just having the teaching and the sharing times that we had, it was beyond belief.
Well, if you Beautiful Humans will go to gospelrevolution.com, you'll see Howard's name listed. We listed everybody's name, Howard, that shared during the convention, and of course, everybody that was even sitting in the convention center were participating. But it was amazing how many people got up and actually participated in sharing from their heart, which you did as well on the last day of the convention. And out of all the things, as far as meeting the people, what was the one thing, Howard, that stuck out to you as far as either a theme or something that was really life-affirming or revolutionary, if you will, in your heart?
Well, it's hard to boil it down to one thing, but for me, I'll say two things then. One was your teaching on the fact that I'm a Jew. And I really enjoyed that, and I'm still digesting that one. So that was the first one. And the second one was Mike's last teaching on talking about in fact, where we get our validation and our honor and our worth from, whether it be from our external people that we deal with or validation from man, as it were, or whether we get that validation from our intimacy with, and our oneness with Christ. And to me, that was just totally revolutionary.
Well, that is actually a VCD that is being given for people who donate just $100, at least $100. We entitled that, Howard, Freed from Your Own Faith.
That's
and, right. That was such a powerful understanding What Howard was referring to as far as the Jewishness of the gospel, or us being actual Jews, remember, beautiful humans, Jew actually means something. It means a praiser of God. And from the original Jewish or Hebrew tribe of Judah, Yehuda in Hebrew. And Judah, of course, means praise, and the people that became known as Jews, that was what they were known as, praisers of God. And people really found that fascinating. In fact, Howard, we got an email today from Lee Lau with his contribution and his pledge, and he signed it, Lee Lau, Jew, not a Christian.
That's great.
Now, this, ladies and gentlemen, is a Chinese doctor from Hong Kong who understands that his identity is not in a church, not in a building, not in a religion, but in the person of Joshua Josephson, of Yeshua ben Yosef, of Jesus Christ. And Howard, one of the most amazing things that has occurred in my heart over these 15 years or so that I've been part of the gospel revolution and started learning the teachings of Michael Williams through how he expresses in the Bible is that that our identity is truly in him. That's how we can call ourselves righteous. That's how we can call ourselves one with God. That's how we can call ourselves blameless and holy and perfect and one with each other. And now, without any other further ado, please welcome the aforementioned teacher, the president and the founder. He once was lost. I don't know where he is, but now he's coming. Michael Williams, ladies and gentlemen. Michael!
Good evening, Glenn and Howard. Howard, it's so good to hear your voice again. And everybody, I offer my apologies. And I do not ever have to ask forgiveness from God. But thank God I'm free enough to where that I can ask the all of the ones that have been waiting patiently for me to forgive me for munching on pizza and totally forgetting it was Wednesday night.
Well, you'll be happy to know, Michael, that we've raised $2,800 already without you. So I don't know. Maybe you want to
go back and eat pizza.
What kind of pizza?
Oh, I had sausage and pepperoni pizza.
Ooh, sounds great.
It was excellent.
Clearly not a Jew when it comes to keeping kosher.
Yes, I'm a free Jew.
We're all free Jews, hallelujah.
There you go.
Well, hope you had a good time, Mikey, but Howard was just talking about the time at the convention and how wonderful it was to meet so many different people from so many different parts of the world. And, of course, Howard and Manda Wirch from way up in Manitoba. And then Pep Washburn was on just before you got on, Michael. And Pep is writing a book about a character of all places in Manitoba. So he and Howard got to meet.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, that's incredible. He's up. He's talking about a place that's probably about 10 hours to 12 hours north of where we live. So that's way up north.
My goodness. Yes, that is. I mean, you're way up north from me anyway. So.
Well, people think I'm in the north, but Brochet is quite a bit north from here.
Is it really?
Well, Pep adopted an Eskimo baby from way up there, even further north. Yeah, so he's very familiar with northern Canada.
Yeah, I've actually not had the pleasure to be that far north, to be honest. But I want to go visit the Eskimos and the polar bear someday. But we're actually quite a ways from that.
Well, Howard, do you have any comments or questions for Michael tonight, and more gospel related?
No, I just thought I'd call in and give my pledge. I'm enjoying the webcast as usual, and just wanted to. Touch base and say hi and just appreciate you guys so much and thanks for keeping on with the revolution.
Thanks,
well,
Howard. We sure do appreciate you. It was wonderful having you and your wife both there at the conference. It was good to see your faces again.
And yours.
Stay in touch, Howard. You are our official Manitoba correspondent, by the way, so stay in touch, all right?
Will do. Thanks, guys, and we'll free up the line for someone else to call in.
Thank you, Howard. There's Howard Works, ladies and gentlemen, from Manitoba, from Dawson, Manitoba, with a $200 pledge. What happened, Michael, is that Pep challenged anybody that would call within the next 10 minutes that he would match a pledge up to $200, which he did. And so now, with Richard Moe and with Pep's contribution, with Lee Lau, with George Howell, and now with Howard Amanda Wirsch, we're at, what are we at? We're at 2840 on our way to 1705. Yeah, so we're doing well. And I just want to remind you folks that if you're listening to Glenn Klein Online, this is the fall pledge drive for the Gospel Revolution. And all you got to do is go to gospelrevolution.com, click on donations, and do your best for gifts of $100 or more in one-time gifts or monthly pledgely. Monthly pledgely. You will receive free and postage paid the brand new teaching CD, Freed from Your Own Faith. And, Mike, there's so much to talk about coming out of the convention, but we sent out an email yesterday using the tragic wildfires that occurred in California. So many times when a natural disaster occurs, you get these televangelists, these evangelical preachers of the law of sin and death getting on there and attributing that as a judgment of God. But instead of it following something that the legalists would term anti-Christ or anti-God, the voters of California actually rejected gay marriage. And then the fires came.
Yeah.
Now, if we were legalists, we would say that that is a sign that God is not pleased that California rejected gay marriage. But what we found out over the last, maybe 15 years or so, and it certainly was reconfirmed at the convention, was that there is no more judgment. God has no more judgment, Michael.
Yeah, you know, that is the foundation of everything that I teach, eat and breathe, as far as my understanding of spirituality, of Christ, of Scripture. The a lot of people ask Glenn, you know, where did this all start for you? You know, how did you get to the point where you are? And in all honesty, the very first thing that I learned quite emphatically, and it is the foundation of everything that I understand now, and it was called the Gospel of Peace. And I studied it for 5 years. I was pastoring a church in 1983, and when I first taught it, I actually started learning it in the late 70s, and probably about 78 or so, I started studying it. I had been with Norval Hayes Ministry since 1974, and so 4 years under the doctrine of casting out demons and hyperfaith and, what you get, whatever you say, whether it's good, bad, or whatever. And then suddenly, as I was, I can't really rehearse for you exactly what I looked at or what I saw at this time. I mean, it's just been too many years ago, but I remember studying through it for about 5 years, and in 1983 I was pastoring a church in southern Illinois, and I finally, it became such a, they talked about, I heard a thing on the radio, or on TV yesterday, they were doing this thing about cows and automated milking machines, and that how that they, you don't even have to, they don't have to have anybody to direct the cows. It's just when the udders get full, they go in and walk into the stall, and they're automatically cleaned, and they're automatically hooked up. There's no human around anywhere. And that's kind of the way I feel, you know. It was just, I was so full of the Gospel of Peace, I had to release it. And I remember so well getting up and teaching that day. And it was an amazing release for me, And then not only it was an amazing impact on people, and the gospel of peace at that, from that time started impacting people and has impacted people around the world. There's many people who have not embraced much of what I am teaching, but in all honesty, the entire planet has been affected in some way or another by the teaching that I did in 1983 on the gospel of peace, and that is that the gospel of peace means the cessation of hostilities, and it is not between people, and it's between God and man. And I remembered reading those verses when the angels came and spoke when Jesus was born, and the angels appeared and declared peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And it wasn't peace and goodwill between men. It was peace and goodwill toward men. And it just, that exploded inside me. I saw the direction and the parties involved in which peace and goodwill was declared. And it didn't say toward believers. It didn't say toward Christians. It didn't leave an exemption for unbelievers. There was no exemption. Now, I still believed at the time that you had to believe in Jesus to be redeemed and to go to heaven. But
right.
But the wild thing was that I knew there was no judgment on this earth from God. And I went into greatest of detail with that and taught the gospel of peace and then started learning the gospel of grace. And it blew my mind when I realized there's only two things called the gospel in the New Testament, and that is the gospel of peace and the gospel of grace. That is what the good news is about. And the gospel of peace means you are not going to get what you do deserve, and the gospel of grace means you do get what you don't deserve. It's just that simple.
Well, last week when I was doing the webcast from an undisclosed location, I was on location it's near Birchwood Best, the company that I do full-time life and coaching and motivational speaking for. And I pulled up right by the hotel where I was staying, and right by the little mall there they have in the little town of Rice Lake, Wisconsin. And they had a huge sign in preparation for their Christmas selling season that said, Peace on Earth. And, of course, that was referencing the passage from the New Testament that you were referring to. And the thought hit me, if Jesus was supposed to bring peace on earth between men, he's the biggest failure that ever was.
And yes, and that was part of my conclusion, was that either this was between God and man, or God completely failed. And, you know, at Christmas time, that's the whole thing, is that the understanding is supposed to be about peace on earth and goodwill between men. And that's what the hope is. You know, even I remember my very first time teaching it, I pointed out how that even armies that are fighting around the world, and I remember back during, I don't remember because I wasn't there, but I know that during World War One and World War Two, and the fighting in Europe and in the Western world, that on Christmas Eve they would all call a ceasefire in honor of this hope for peace on earth and goodwill toward men. To say that, well, this is what it was all about, was to bring peace. So for 1 hour, we're going to stop killing you, and you'll stop killing us. And I remembered even bringing that analogy and showing how that if that indeed is what God meant, that through Christ he was going to bring peace between men, that he was an absolute and utter failure, just like what you said.
It's always amazed me that they will have, during hostilities between nations, agree during Christmas to end the hostilities temporarily.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, think about that for a second, folks, that they can get together. They're figuring out ways to kill each other by the multiple tens or hundreds of thousands, and yet we're going to stop killing each other during this short period of time. That we can agree to. It's absolutely insane. I mean, if you talk about the schizophrenic nature of religion and about humanity's perspective, this is what the gospel revolution is all about, ladies and gentlemen, is to bring sanity to the discussion of our relationship with the Almighty, with our relationship with each other. And as we pointed out on many occasions, our sister website, Gospel Logic, Mike Farmer's website, Mike and Danette Farmer were at the convention in Houston, yes, in from Montana. Michael, this idea, if you believe in God at all, if you believe in a creator, if you believe in the concept of a grand designer, that there is nothing more logical than the gospel. We tell the story for the beautiful humans about the time, I think you were in Colorado, when you were in front of, I believe, a Buddhist, an atheist, and a scientist. And three of them came to recognize what you were teaching about Christ to be true. But I believe it was the scientist that came to you and said that your explanation of the gospel was the most scientific and logical thing that they had ever heard.
Yes, and it was my first time. The first time that I shared on the redemption of the world is what I was teaching on. First time I shared on the redemption of the world, I was in Surrey, British Columbia. And the second time that I shared it, which was my first time back in the United States, I was in Colorado. And I'm not sure right now exactly, somewhere between Denver and Colorado Springs. Excuse me. And in fact, I think it was the Denver area, actually, as I'm trying to remember. And unbeknownst to me, I mean, this was my first time to teach this, and I did three sessions. And on the redemption of the world, and at the end of it, everybody started crowding around, you know, and they were talking to each other, and it was just having such an impact. And of course, there were people there that were mad and they were angry and upset and then leaving, but the Buddhist and the atheist and the scientist, as you said, sounds like a joke, but I stood there and I was more interested in hearing the people respond to their comments and questions. And the scientist, though, did make that particular comment that he said, I have been to many lectures and on many subjects. And he said, Mr. Williams, he said, concerning not just the subject of Christianity, but all religions and all subjects that I've ever heard lectured on, I have never heard anything that has been taught with greater clarity of logic in my entire profession as a scientist. And I'm standing there, you know, of course, you know, still exhausted. I mean, when you stand up and you know, I have to try to remember back what it was like to begin to share this message with people for the very first times that I began to do this. And, you know, and each time I had to prepare for the anger that I would face from some, for sure, if not many in the audience. But I always knew that this was going to ring true with some of them. And I don't know what it was. I don't know why that the opposition or the possibility of physical harm coming to me, because I knew that that was possible. These people would get so furious with me, Glenn, angry. And I'm just not a confrontational person at all.
When you think about, Michael, the response that we had in Houston just 2 weeks ago, starting tonight, 2 weeks ago tonight, compared to what you were facing in the early days, I mean, they used to literally physically throw you out of churches. They used to physically rush the stage. compared to the love and acceptance. Now, I knew it was going to be good. We all were very excited about the convention. But the openness and the warmth and the love that we were received with in Houston compared to that, it was literally like the difference between heaven and hell.
Oh, it absolutely was. And, you know, I don't know if I mentioned it on the last program at all or not, but I do want to mention it, and I'll make reference to it many times. You know, the people who listen to my teaching know that I'm a very firm believer in Jesus Christ. I'm a believer that Jesus is the Messiah, was the Messiah, is the Son of God, that he was born of a virgin, that he did die on a cross as foretold and designed by God to die on the cross and redeem the world of the condition of sin and set everything right between God and man, and not only set it right, but to close the gap in the distance between God and man to where that they would meld together, to where that there was literally no difference in God's view between himself and the human race.
Right, and also that Jesus was the fulfillment of the scriptural prophecies.
He was the fulfillment of all scripture. Now,
we believe that.
Yes, we believe that. Now, I invited Carlton Pearson, who has been a friend of mine and listened to me, and as he said, even in the at the conference, that he had been learned from me and listened to me. But Carlton has gone to a place, as he has said openly, even before our convention, that and at other places, that he does not embrace the virgin birth and speaks of the work of the cross as not being, questions the work of the cross as that it just could not be the plan of God. This bloody mess taking place at the cross was the plan of God.
Right. He talked in those terms at the convention. You folks, you've got to get the series on the convention, because we did an in-studio Glenn Klein Online with Carlton, with Michael. He refers to God not as himself, but as itself. And yet, Michael, Carlton was greeted with such warmth and with
absolutely
such love. And I specifically asked Carlton, this is on the CDs, ladies and gentlemen, I specifically asked Carlton if he considers himself a Christian. And he said he did. He explained why he still considers himself a Christian. Michael, I asked you the same question. You explained to the beautiful humans assembled there and then everybody else who will ever hear these CDs why you do not consider yourself a Christian anymore. And even Carlton said that he would have to reconsider his position now.
Yes, and that was the thing that I was, as you pointed out, that's what I was aiming for, was that, you know, I remember the day that if somebody would have disagreed with my doctrine, now that's quite, for a believer in Jesus, to meet anyone, it doesn't make any difference who they are, to say that they do not believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, or the Son of God, that comment was also made, and is made, and that also, and I'm not saying this to put Carlton down, I'm saying this to speak well of Carlton and his freedom to teach what he teaches, and also, but what I'm focusing in on is that compared to, your question was compared to, that the people that I shared, that I believe Jesus was all in everything, that I got run out of churches. And here, Carlton Pearson was able to say in front of people who believe these fundamental basic truths about Jesus Christ, that he truly is the Son of God, truly was born of a virgin, truly did die on the cross by appointment and predestination by God himself, and raised from the dead. They believe all of that, and yet they enjoyed listening to him because they are open-minded people. They are not threatened by someone's unbelief. Now, personally, I remember all the time being threatened by someone's unbelief. if they did not believe the way I did, I got nervous inside, and I knew that there was a fight coming, you know, there's a debate coming, and well, I don't believe, well, brother, and you know, you always knew all of this stuff was coming, but everybody they didn't tolerate Carlson, they enjoyed him.
They embraced him as a brother in Christ.
Absolutely. Because he is.
Because he is. And also because he found out that repentance doesn't just mean change your mind, it means open your mind.
Yes,
and we learned
absolutely.
That the convention. This is Glenn Klein Online. We want to remind you we are in night number 2 of the Gospel Revolution Fall Pledge Drive. If you're listening on the archive, you can just go to gospelrevolution.com. And make your donation by clicking on donation and either make a one-time gift, or we're asking everybody to at least make a $10 a month gift. That'll take us over the top, frankly. Just email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Let us know what you did so we can count it towards the goal. We are now at $3,020 on our way to $17,500, and a man that helped us greatly on the route to our goal is back online with us. Our Wisconsin correspondent calling back, Pep Watson. Pep, say hello to Mike.
Hi, Mike. It's glad to hear your voice again.
I've been found, Pep.
I have a story that I would like to recount. It came back to mind as I listened to you a little earlier. As I have mentioned before on the broadcast, I was raised in a fundamentalist tradition. At about the age of 35 or so, moved into the Pentecostal Word of Faith doctrines, and then about 10 years ago, began to see the logic and the freedom of the gospel of peace. Anyway, when I was younger, I had a very, very close friend, and he is still one of the closest friends to me. He's like a brother to me. He lives in Florida, and I would spend hours in my younger years attempting to convince him to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior. I would weep before him. I remember one time my now wife, at that time girlfriend, Margie, and I went to his apartment, and I explained the gospel to him again, the gospel that I knew at that time for the 30th, 40th time, and just breaking down and crying in front of him because I was so concerned that he would spend eternity being tormented in hell. And 2 years ago, I visited him, and he could tell that there was a difference. And, of course, I didn't do much to hide my new understanding. And he said, you know, I want to know, what is it that you believe now that's different than your fundamentalist beliefs of the past? And I very quickly, very clearly explained to him the universal embrace of God for all of humankind. And it maybe took 4 or 5 minutes at the very most, and we were sitting in his car, and it just kind of breaks me up. He turned and looked at me, and he said, that is a God I can believe in. That's a God that doesn't condemn me for making my own choices in life. And anyway, I just wanted to recount that to the listeners. It's a powerful and wonderful message, the gospel of
Pep, and recount it. It should be done over and over and over again. And we will have you share that many times on this broadcast. Because this is where the rubber meets the road, if you want to use that analogy. You know, Pep, when I first started teaching the gospel of peace, I read Madeline Murray O'Hare's statements about her being an atheist. And
yes.
it literally pinpointed when she became an atheist. Now listen to this. It pinpointed the moment she became an atheist. Excuse me. She said that she had struggled so much with her faith and her belief in God, and she had been taught about a God who punishes people and rewards people. And she said that in all, now this is how pure this woman's heart was and how convinced that Christianity had convinced her of this God. She said that there was an electrical storm moving into their neighborhood and that there was lightning that was flashing all about. And she said that she wanted to know if there was a God so desperately that she ran out in the middle of her front yard and she started cursing. And she said, "Now, if there is a God, strike me dead." Madeline Murray O'Hare explained that because God did not strike her dead with her cursings, it proved to her there was no God. And based on evangelical Christianity, she is right.
Yeah.
But what she actually proved is there is no angry God.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's what she proved. But you see, she did not have the privilege of knowing. I believe that Madeline Murray O'Hare, had she heard the gospel, she would have been one of our strongest supporters. I honest to God believe that. But she never had that marvelous opportunity to know why she was not struck dead when she cursed God and then told him if he was real to strike her dead.
Yeah.
And then, of course, later on, she was murdered. And she's in heaven now, isn't she, Michael?
She absolutely is. And I know that, you know, what a wonderful surprise for her. What a, oh, my God. You know, but you see, I honor the integrity of Madeline Murray O'Hare more than I do the televangelist and the preachers and Christianity, which put her in that mindset to think that she had to make that type of decision. That's what's so hideous. What's so hideous was not that Madeline Murray O'Hare became an atheist. It is that Christianity, in its purest form, turned her into an atheist.
Yes.
Do you hear what I'm saying? It was evangelical Christianity, in its purest believed form, that turned Madeline Murray O'Hare into an atheist.
As I explained the gospel as I knew it years ago to my friend Richard, that, you know, turned him into a person that could not, in his humanity, believe in this angry, judgmental, torturing God. And yet, later on, as he saw that, my new understanding, my pure understanding of the God of love, it just, he naturally could fall into belief of that God.
This is a
good opportunity, Michael, to remind everybody about your comment, your statement, what happens to people whose heart is different from their doctrine.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I coined this several years ago in just my search, you know, to help people to listen to their heart, because that's the thing that after I learned the gospel of peace, I found out the gospel of peace and gospel of grace is in every heart. Pep, I believe it is in every heart, born into every heart. It is in our DNA.
I agree.
Part of us. And it is so easy. That's why it's so easy. I mean, that's why it fits so perfectly in our heart. I believe it's actually a part of our DNA. It is a part of our bloodline. It's a part of our inheritance. It's who we are. And I remembered saying to a group of people, and since then I've had so many people who have picked up on that and made it their mantra, is that when your heart is kinder than your doctrine, guess which one's wrong? And they automatically know that it's their doctrine that's wrong. There's no way. Because what you're saying is that your heart is kinder than God. And in all those situations, people are kinder than God. And I remember reading through those where God required that we forgive before he could forgive us, and that he was requiring us to do something he could not do. And he required us to love and to turn the other cheek. And he himself wasn't doing it. And in the Old Testament, he told them to go out and kill their enemies. Well, it's because that was the relationship with God that they were under, and he wanted them to be like him, and that was their perception. And then under the new covenant, he says for us to turn the other cheek and to not reward evil for evil. And then we turn around and say that if you don't even believe that God, you don't even have to do something bad or call God a bad name, that even if you don't believe in him, he's going to cast you into hell forever. It is the most unspiritual, illogical statement that's ever been made on the face of planet Earth, to think that we have something called the cross of Jesus Christ of any semblance, that if you believe even the Christ consciousness, which is just a way, the term Christ consciousness, dear ones, is just simply a way to water down the power of the Christ. That's all it is. There's always terms coming up. What's wrong with the ones that are there? You know, if you want to deal with the scriptures, let's stick with scriptural terms.
Yeah, I'll tell you something, guys, that Pep, you're going to love hearing Mark Eaton share on the convention CD series. He starts talking about that it is the blood that is the Christ consciousness. Mark Eaton had some tremendous time of sharing at the convention.
Yeah.
On the GospelRevolution.com homepage, everybody, is all the people at the convention that shared. Every single person that got on the microphone is as part of the CD series. And one of the things, Michael, that was so great about the convention was how many different ways we heard this love of God described from people from completely different backgrounds, different perspectives, different nationalities, but all coming to the same conclusion that we are all one with each other and one with God. It's all because of the sacrifice that God provided in the person of Jesus, in the person of Yeshua, in the person of salvation.
Wonderful and powerful stuff. I'm going to hang up so that someone else can call in.
Thanks a lot for sharing the story.
That's Pep Walsh from Beautiful Humans, our Wisconsin correspondent. We do have a phone line available for you at 1-800-436-3260. We would love to hear from you. We've got, we always pad an extra 30 minutes at least into these pledge drives, because although we've been accused of fundraising the same way that the aforementioned power evangelists do, we always take most of the, even the pledge drives, do we take most of the pledge drive to talk about the gospel. But we add an extra 30 minutes because we do take extra time to ask you for your financial help. Michael, one of the things that we've been accused of, and it seems like recently some of the critics have been very very vociferous recently, is that we could do this for free. Well, we do it for free. This webcast costs nothing for you to listen to. The YouTube clips that Tony Blackman has put in on YouTube are free. There's so much free stuff on GospelRevolution.com and Gospel Logic, but to do it right and to have the impact that we want to have, it does cost money. So once a quarter, we've come into the habit of asking you for your help, and we're not asking you to do anything that's not in your heart. We're not putting you under any kind of condemnation. We're not saying that God is going to judge you or that God is going to bless you. by helping us. But we are asking to do what is in your heart. We have a goal over these next 21 days of raising $17,500 towards our just part of our operating expense, and it's only part. Right now we're at $3,020, and we do have that phone line available. We want to hear from you. Who's going to call next? Whether you make a pledge or not, we want to hear from you at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. And if you're listening on the archives, we know that most of the people do listen at their convenience, just go onto the gospelrevolution.com webpage. You're going to notice how fresh that page looks. Tim Pruitt, our webmaster, has done such a superb job in showing forth the convention and putting the pictures up of the convention. But you're going to just go on to the donation part, click on there, do your best at a one-time gift, or the monthly donations really help out a lot because that's money that we can depend on for our budget each month in between the pledge drive. Click on there, make a one-time or a monthly pledge, and then email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That's webcast@gospelrevolution.com, and let us know what you've done. So far, we've had donations from Richard Mull, our Southern California correspondent, our nationwide correspondent, George Howell of boldgrace.com, Dr. Lee Lau of Hong Kong, Howard Wirch of Manitoba, Canada, and Pep Washburn of Wisconsin to get us to $3,020 on our way to $17,500. So you be next. And if you're listening live right now, and it's a little after the top of the hour, actually it's about almost 10 minutes after the top of the hour, you're listening live, and so give us a call. We want to hear from you. 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. Michael, as part of my preparation for the webcast tonight, I was checking out some of the opposition game films on Christian television, and I know that you don't get God TV, but it is really something. These guys, Wendy and Rory on God TV, and they're talking about after the first of the year having all this stuff on end times prophecy, and they talked about this guy Mike Bickle in Kansas City, and she talked about how he's been for so many years teaching on the end times, and for some reason it did not occur to her the irony that here's this guy who's been teaching for decades on the end times, and here we still are.
We're still here, and the end times that he started preaching was going to come probably, depending on how old he was. I remember 1972 was the first rapture training that I went through. And I do have to ask the folks to pardon my voice. The weather change here in Texas gave me a bit of a throat thing, so I'm trying very desperately to hide my coughs from you, but I'm sure that it's still coming through. But these guys have been prophesying and teaching, and how ironic, like you said, that this guy's been teaching on the end times for decades. Well, if he was alive for 1,000 more years, he'd still be teaching on the end times and still would not have preached one single thing that was true, because the end times is not a future event. The end times is a historic event. The very same way that the cross is no longer a future event, it is no longer a prophesied event. The cross is a historic event and a spiritual event. And the very same way, the end of the world is not a future event. The end of the world is a historic event. And it's not the end of the world in the eyes of men. It's the end of the world in the eyes of God. And why we always want to put ourselves in the equation, I will never know. I know that I always did it because, people always think that there's some role we have to play. So,
because we have not
some...
What I was going to say is we have not changed since the Garden of Eden. That's why.
No, absolutely.
And, we always want to be like God. And the ironic thing is, ladies and gentlemen, God made us just like Jesus, just like Christ, in the plan of God, at the cross. We are in him. He's in us. There's so much of this understanding and revelation that comes through on the convention CD series. For the information on that, just go to gospelrevolution.com. And now we do want to welcome in our Maryland correspondents, Jesse and Peggy. Hey, guys!
Hey, how
are
you guys doing? Say hi.
Good evening.
We have one. We missed Houston, but we plan on just tapping into all the DVDs and CDs and whatever comes in the whole package.
Awesome.
And, I want to say thank you for we were offered by Glenn to come and be a part and even just to have support getting us there. And boy, if we could have pulled it off, I'll tell you, we would have been there. So we are so grateful for your graciousness and our hearts are there for sure. And
we love you guys, and there's always next year.
Well, you know what? I'm gearing up. I'm gearing up for that one. And like I said, we want to get the set of tapes, and then we want to be a monthly pledge, like at least like $10 a month to start, and then the tapes. That's a biggie for us, because
it's a biggie for us too, hon. if everybody would do a biggie like you just did, we could shut down the pledge drives.
Well,
thank you so much. $10 on a regular monthly basis. My goodness,
yeah.
That's the things that change the world. That changes our entire financial picture for an entire year.
That's awesome.
And
wow.
So thank you so very much. And
our pleasure.
We will. I would tell you that we'd pray for the hundredfold return. Or a massive multiple return on you, but it just ain't going to happen, hon. We're just going to take your money and use it to spread the gospel.
I'll tell you what, the Lord is, we keep finding ourselves like fish out of water. It's the strangest place. I guess you think you're just going to end up like just in water, and so we just learned to breathe air at fish. I don't know.
There you go.
And tap it into the webcast when we can, or the archives when we can, and sometimes you get just lonely out there. I was telling Glenn today, I'm like, this is kind of a road less traveled, and you're like, okay, I need to hear some life from some friends, and really, we have to just tap in online and pull it up because it's hard to come by out here.
Well, Peggy, I tell you what, that's exactly what we had, and I'm thank God we do have the webcast. And I
mm-hmm.
think the only thing that you're missing out on is seeing the faces. And I know that's one of the things that the people who were able to come, you're still,
sure.
But see, here's the thing. Even though that you were not able to come to the convention, you still have your family. I mean, this really is a wonderful mm-hmm. family, and I think the reality of that hit home when the folks saw each other face to face.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I think they really felt like, my God, we do have a family. You know, this really is a family. And, Glenn, don't you think that they had that type of impact on the folks?
Well, I'll tell you, that is exactly how I felt about it. And what I felt, and if you've ever gone to a class or a family reunion, here's where a bunch of people that basically the only one that knew everybody was Mike Williams, and yet we had that sense, Peggy, that we had known each other. And it was that kind of warmth. And if you can put down November 11th, 2009 on your schedule and plan on being there, next year we're going to do it Thursday through Sunday. And I think November, is it November 11th or 12th, Michael? That's the Thursday.
I believe it's the 12th, yes.
12th. But Peggy, go on the website and click on Tim put the pictures on, and you will see the faces of people that believe just the way that you do about God's view and opinion of us. everybody that's on there doesn't believe the same way about God, but everybody that's on there believes the same way about God and view us. Even Carlton Pearson, who said some, in our opinion, outrageous things, he believes that God sees everybody as the same. He just doesn't have the same scriptural or biblical foundation that we do anymore, but he even believes that God sees everybody as equal. We called it the spiritual rights movement, and this effort called the Gospel Revolution, everybody, is at the forefront of the spiritual rights movement. You're not a part of a little thing. It seems little, and remember, we talked about this at the convention, that at the time of the American Revolution, only a third of the American population wanted to rebel against England. A third did not want to, and a third didn't give a rip. So it's always a small group of people that starts this thing, and you're part of it. Hey, Peg, how do you and Jess pronounce your last name?
Zuniga.
Zuniga. So we got Peggy and Jesse Zuniga in Maryland. We got Howard and Amanda Wirch in Manitoba. We've got Pep and Marge Washburn in Marshfield, Wisconsin. Richard Mull in Southern California. We've got Greg Amberge in Cincinnati. We've got George Howe in Pittsburgh. We got Lee Lau in Hong Kong. We got the Brenhams in Australia. I mean, Michael, this literally is a worldwide revolution.
Yes, and that's just the ones that we are in personal contact with. You know, this is personal family that communicates all the time. I mean, we're all in communication constantly in some way. And, you know, even if it's just through the webcast, I mean, and the emails, I mean, we're in communication, literally all of the time. And, there's no way that I could describe, Peggy, I don't know what I looked like while I was there, because literally, being there, looking out over the crowd, and I was used to seeing these different people in different places in Canada, in different parts of Canada, in different parts of the U.S., and I've seen them in Hawaii in their own environment, and to see everybody in one place, I just felt like Grandpa had gotten all these kids together or something. You know? I really had this amazing feeling like, you know, Grandpa got his kids, you know, and I was elated. I just it was very, very rewarding time for me, and my goodness, I could not have been nurtured by more love than what I received while I was there during that week, for sure.
Wow,
well, one thing's for sure is that when you get a group of people like that coming from all over the world together, and they don't want to leave. I mean, we were all outside the Marriott there as people were departing, and you just didn't want to leave it. I mean, the hugs and the tears, and I mean, it was absolutely incredible. And so many times, and Peggy, you and I have talked about this, people want a church, but the church is not a place that you go to. You are the church. The church goes wherever you go, wherever you talk. That is where the church is at. And that's not only did they get the Lord's name wrong, but Michael, as soon as they misinterpreted body of Christ as a physical building, the thing, you talk about building on sand, the thing was messed up right from the get-go.
Yeah, we've been in three building programs, because we were always with churches that were like small and growing, and we get them up to like 1,500, 2,000, and then you know, we'd have to go because it would just get too politically crazy and just too we wanted to build buildings. I'm like, I have sworn off building programs. You know, I want to build the church, which is my brothers and sisters and myself included.
That's
not necessarily. I mean, there's too many buildings to ever build another church. God have mercy on my soul for saying that. But I mean it. You know, it's just church. There's empty buildings, and there's like 15 churches, and everybody's kind of still in 25 years ago mode. They just nothing's really changed. And I don't know, I keep going back, and our last experience, we hooked up with a minister from Ghana, I think it was. And I really thought that he had tasted grace, because we talked, I'm telling you, he was interviewing us as for a worship team, and we were interviewing him to see if he was grace-based, and to see if he was telling us the truth about, you know, being open-minded to, when you say, yes, we believe in the grace of God, everybody says that, but when you actually, you know, get into the depth of it and start talking about the finished work of the cross, people are like, well, wait a minute, you know, and they try to work in their religion and the theology in there, and so we were interviewing this gentleman, and we spent 30, 40 hours across the table just hitting them with our best shots and pulling out famous Mike Williams quotes and just, you know, just sharing our very souls, hoping that, wow, we could get together and share this gospel. I can get behind that. And, you know, he agreed with us to kind of get us in to do the music. And we were so heartbroken because we were so ready to just team up with some other people here locally and just go for it. And looks like we're going to just bring it back to our house again and invite Mike out. Glenn, you're welcome to come too, you know.
Well, come on, invite us, and we'd love to come, Peg, and have a family reunion in Maryland there. But
D.C.'s 30 minutes away, you know. We got lots of folks in D.C., I think, that would come up, and Baltimore's right down the street as well. So we're in a neat area.
Well, thank you so much for calling and contributing and participating, and be in touch. Let's schedule something soon.
Okay.
All right, Peg.
Oh, we love you guys. We'll see you soon.
Thanks. Love you too.
Give my love.
All right. Sure thing. God bless. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
All right. There's Peggy and Jesse Zuniga, our Maryland correspondents. And with their $10 a month contribution, that brings us to a grand total of $3,140 on our way to 17.5 here on night number two of the Gospel Revolution Fall Pledge Drive as we head towards 17.5 for gifts of $100 or more, whether it be in a one-time or a monthly contribution totaling $100 or more, you will receive free and postage paid the brand new teaching CD, Freed from Your Own Faith. And that was recorded at the convention. Absolutely revolutionary and revelatory teaching by Michael. And as I said earlier, everybody who shared at the convention is not only listed on the homepage now, but is, was also recorded and is part of the 20-plus hour CD series. Did you get all the CDs together there now, Michael, in Houston?
I was just into the office where all of the CDs are made, and Josh held them up and said he just got them in the post that day. Just today.
Yeah, so we went through those very carefully, and it was incredible, the love that was shared and the understanding of the gospel. And, you know, I was talking to our webmaster, Tim Pruitt, today, and we were talking about church building, the physical building of facilities, and he says every time he sees a church ground being broken for a church, he gets a little nauseous. And, you know, people have often said to us, Michael, can it be done? Can you have a church, a traditional place where people come and meet and have leadership and an institution, if you will? And we have come to the conclusion it don't work. It just... The new wineskin will not be held, or the new wine will not be held by the old wineskin, folks. It's just not possible. But what is possible, because now we've done it, is that the family can get together and share from their heart and welcome other people. It's so funny, Michael. At the Marriott, when we were there, there was a church group meeting down the hallway, and they gave me, it was a gospel music group, and they gave me a copy of their CD, and I gave them your teaching on Avoid Strange Gospels. Oh. And I would just have loved to have been there when that minister put in that CD and listened to the, or seen his reaction to your teaching on avoiding the gospel that they undoubtedly were teaching down the hallway. But just because the new wine cannot be held by the old wineskin doesn't mean we don't have opportunities or should not take the opportunity to get together, whether it be on the webcast, whether it be at opportunities like going to Maryland. And I think the people need to be reminded that you will go to just go and share in somebody's living room.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about it. I mean, that's where this all took place. And I mean, most of the CDs now that are so finely done and packaged so nicely, that they were recorded in, you know, people's living rooms. And this one that we'll be sending out, this 20-some CD packet will be the first one that's been done in, a setting like this. The ones that we did in Canada, we had a small room at the hotel there, and those were recorded in that fashion. But, Glenn, I have to ask you, because I know Richard Mull, I wanted to ask you, I wasn't on earlier, as you know, and I know that he called in and gave something, but did he tell you about his $600 gift?
No!
Well, see, this is the way Richard Mull is. He's sneaky about giving. And I just have to expose him. Richard just purchased a brand new computer that the for the ministry, actually a laptop, and contributed that to the ministry, and it will arrive here on Friday. And, you know, if Richard finds something that needs to be done, and now, folks, you just got to understand, Richard Mull is not a wealthy man. It's just that in his heart, he puts the gospel absolutely first in everything that he does. And, when he told me what he was going to do, I just told him, I said, you know, Richard, I'm just speechless. I don't even know what to say to you anymore.
Because I got to know Richard at the convention. Of course, I had spoken with him before. We corresponded via email. But folks, hearing Richard Mull share the couple of times he did on the convention CD series is worth the price of the series in and of itself. This man is a lover of humanity, and he shared with me not only his love of the gospel and his love of Michael, but his love of his natural family. And that love has been extended to the gospel family. And so, and we have so many people out there like Richard Mull, but he is a very, very unique and wonderful and funny guy. And we found out that Greg Amberge, who was leading our music, recognized Richard's humor and referred to Richard as Martin Mull, of course, Martin Mull being the comedian and actor. And then we found out that Richard Mull is actually related to Martin Mull. And you'll hear it on the CD series, what a funny guy and what a lovely man Richard Mull is. So that $600 brings us to $3,720. And we're going to get there. I have no doubt, even in this harsh economic time, we are going to meet our goal. We are going to continue to see this gospel, the gospel of grace and peace, go forth all over the world. Well, we're coming up against the clock. We're going to go over a couple minutes since Michael was a little tardy getting in. If you want to join us, hop on very quickly. Sean O'Halloran is waiting to take your call at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. If you're listening on the archive, please make your donation on the website at gospelrevolution.com. By the way, the CD series, The Holy Scriptures Redefined, is now available on CD. It's a 6-CD series. It's available on the homepage, too. That was remastered from the original cassette tape series. And Michael, the understanding of what the scriptures are is so vital that we decided, instead of waiting for you to reteach it, we would just take the old series, remaster it, digitalize it, and put it available. And that thing has got to be listened to. I mean, the understanding of what Jesus and the disciples called the scriptures, what the scriptures are, what the word of God is, and what it is not, is absolutely critical for understanding this whole concept that we spend our lives and certainly every Wednesday night talking about.
To try to understand the gospel, to try to understand the gospel without knowing what the scriptures are, which almost 100% of the Christian, evangelical Christian world does not accept what the Bible says the scriptures are. And without knowing what the scriptures are, it's like trying to build a house without a blueprint. You have nothing to go by. You've got to believe what somebody tells you. You have to do what somebody tells you to do, because you have no blueprint. The scriptures is the blueprint for understanding the gospel of grace and peace. The gospel of grace and peace are completely intact because the scriptures have been fulfilled. If there is a single scripture, Glenn, that is unfulfilled, there is no such thing as the gospel. The gospel became an inception. The gospel of peace and the gospel of grace was birthed out of the complete fulfillment of all scriptures.
Yes.
There cannot be an unfulfilled scripture. And again, to try to understand the gospel of grace and the gospel of peace, the only two things called the gospel, to try to understand them is like trying to build a house without a blueprint.
And
now you're
so
going to come
often
up with something. But it is going, number one, you're not going to, and totally building the house without a foundation.
Right.
You'll be building a house not only without a blueprint, but you'll be building a house without a foundation. Because there is no foundation for the gospel except the scriptures.
Well, and so often what I was going to say was, so often the Bible's been described as a blueprint, but a blueprint for how to live. But as we've discovered, the scriptures, the law, the Psalms, and the prophets actually are a blueprint of a way of thinking, of a way of being saved. And a man that understands this oh so well, our Cincinnati, Ohio correspondent and our music leader calling in here, so glad to hear from him from Cincinnati, Ohio, Mr. Greg Ambergy. Gregory!
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hey, Greg, it's good to hear you.
We're having so much fun, we can hardly stand ourselves.
I just got home. I took my wife to hear Harry Connick Jr. tonight. What a show.
Oh, how wonderful.
Man. What a band. I love big band stuff anyway, and so his band is rocking.
You took Debbie to hear secular music?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I figured something out. We were coming out of the place. We got there right as the show was getting ready to start, so I wasn't paying a lot of attention to the crowd. If you were a guy trying to meet women, Harry Connick Jr. show is the place to go. It was all women, the whole show. Where are the men? You know. I guess you're having a good gospel revolution show tonight.
Well, it just improved. We've been having a great time, but it just improved with your call. And we've obviously been retelling about the convention. Greg was a huge part of it. You'll hear not only Greg singing and playing and his wife Debbie and the whole gospel revolution band, but also Greg taught on dealing with Christian objections to the gospel. Give the beautiful humans, Gregory, a little bit of an understanding of what you and Debbie took away from the convention.
Well, I got a second the thing about understanding what the scriptures are. For me, that was like mind-blowing, life-changing for me, because it simplified everything. If I didn't understand something in the New Testament, before, I had to try to make it all make sense. I had to try to make James and Galatians make sense. And James and Galatians don't make sense unless you understand that they're rebutting each other's position. And you know, you, to try to make a theology where James and Galatians and Romans all, are all accepted as the Word of God, and they can't even be a little bit wrong. That's like I said on my blog once. That's like taking a speech by Hillary Clinton and a speech by Ron Paul and saying they're both right. In fact, they're both so right that, that they can't even be a little bit wrong. And they, you know, you have two totally different political perspectives. Yeah. And so when I understood what the Gospels were, and now I didn't have to try to make the gobbledygook theology in the New Testament, I didn't have to make Peter, James, John, and Paul all you know, inspired Word of God. It, it freed up my mind to understand. It just made all the difference in the world to me.
Well, one of the highlights, fellas, of the convention for me is when Greg brought some friends of his from Houston to the convention, and then we went out for a bite to eat after the meeting, and the wife of one of the members of the band that played said that here she was sitting, and she's from a evangelical fundamentalist background.
She's more from a Catholic background.
A Catholic background. She said to her husband when Michael was talking about his sexuality, and she was retelling the story, that she was could not believe that she was hearing a gay man stand up and explaining the Bible to her, and then a Jewish guy standing up and saying the Bible is not the Word of God. She said to her husband, Dennis, she said, you've got a lot of splaining to do, boy. But I really felt that, that she was touched pretty, pretty specially that night.
Yeah, I think so. I know that was a special time for me. That whole convention was, I don't know. There's something about getting together with people in person that, that just solidifies that whole thing, you know. I mean, all those different people. I can't even start to name them. Howard from Canada, and you know, this is just.
Well,
so
you missed Howard. Howard called at the beginning. He matched Pep Washburn from Wisconsin had made a challenge to match any gifts of up to $200. So Howard took advantage of that. Howard and Amanda Wirsch from Manitoba. And did you want to contribute tonight at all, Gregory?
Yeah, put me down for one.
All right,
100.
You're down, buddy.
not
awesome.
$1.
$1
would be good. If everybody gave a dollar, we'd probably be jamming.
Hey, we'd be fine.
We'd be done. But what else, Greg? When I know you and Debbie left on Sunday, and I know you've had some tremendous success sharing with people in your life recently. Pep retold the story about a friend of his in Florida. But how well equipped do you feel now when you go, not just coming out of the convention, but having been part of the webcast now and of the Gospel Revolution, how well equipped do you feel to be able to share this love of God with whomever you come across?
You know, the simple part for me was just being around people that didn't feel like they had every single answer to every single Bible verse and being comfortable with that. Because if you're going to talk about this with people that really know what they're talking about, they're going to have a lot of questions you haven't even thought of yet.
Yeah.
And so it's okay not to have an answer to every question that comes your way. Where before I always felt pressure, like if I wasn't prepared to, you know, to just answer every single question and refute every, you know, every objection that I was failing. And I don't feel like that anymore. I've gotten just a lot more relaxed. And when you're relaxed sharing the gospel, you know, it makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, isn't that a big difference, Greg? We talked about that earlier, about the tension that you do not feel. We talked about the fact that Carlton Pearson was there and shared things about things that he no longer believes about Jesus, and that he's in a whole room of people who believe emphatically that Jesus is the Son of God, born of a virgin, and we had a guest speaker who stood up and said he didn't believe those things.
Yeah, and I took away enormous things from what Carlton said. And there were a few things that they kind of bounced off me, and I thought, well, I'll go home and think about that one. I don't know. But it's freeing to be able to listen to people that have thought about other perspectives on this and not feel like, that if you listen to somebody that has a different opinion, you're going to somehow warp your mind and you're never going to.
Do you remember, Greg, there are times in any type of Christian settings where that somebody got up and spoke a different opinion, the tension that hit the air?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was, I've been in meetings before where, people, where a pastor got up and had to, kind of, it felt like he had to refute some things that was said by an evangelist or whatever. And, boy, that's uncomfortable. And what's nice is that I think with us, you could stand up and say, well, I disagree with that. And
Absolutely. You
guys would sit there and talk about it for 5 minutes in a civilized manner and probably come to some kind of, understanding of where the other one's coming from. Which
you
were
not
never
offended
able to do
at all by Greg, you were not offended at all by Carlton, were you?
Oh, I loved Carlton. I mean, I'm still stuck in the at-one-ment, the atonement being the at-one-ment. I've been living in that all week, studying that.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
Yeah.
That's a great way to say it, Michael, that this gospel puts people in a mindset where you cannot be offended.
Yeah.
Doesn't
that make the words of Jesus so powerful? Blessed is he who is not offended in me.
I went last Wednesday night, I went to hear my cousin speak on grace, and he's about to get to the point where he's going to get uninvited here pretty soon.
Yeah.
And at the end, I went up and I said, there was one little thing you were missing. I said, how about this? And I told him where Jesus said, there is one that accuses you, even Moses, whom you trust. And he said, I've been studying that. He said, I was afraid to pull that one out. he's onto that, he understood that it was Moses that was the conflict with Jesus.
Yes, absolutely.
And we're still trying to resurrect Moses and push the Ten Commandments down everybody's throat.
Oh.
I don't even want to obey the Ten Commandments because I don't like keeping the Sabbath.
Hey, listen, I've got a heavy revy for you guys. You ready for one tonight?
All right.
Yes.
I got this. I finally watched last night with a friend for the first time The Passion of Christ.
Oh, the Mel Gibson movie.
Mel Gibson's movie. I never wanted to see it, and I now know why I really didn't care to see it. However, I did. I walked away from watching that. I can't tell you how that impacted me, but it was the impact of the gospel is so powerful. Watching all of this go on didn't have an impact on me. I mean, before it would have brought me to tears watching this, knowing what. But it's like I know what Jesus really did, and it wasn't, how horrible it was that I know how powerful it was. It's I know what he did by going through what he did for the human race. But when Jesus was hanging on the cross, remember when? Now, it was known fact that it took about 3 days for people to die from a crucifixion.
Right.
Now,
yeah.
Remember, of course, Jesus went through such torture before he died, that, of course, he died, hanging on the cross.
Right.
But he said to the man, thief at his side, "This day shall thou be with me in paradise." Now, the only way that could happen is if Jesus took him into his own body and presented himself when he presented himself before God.
Oh, man.
And as the Bible tells us in Hebrews, that Jesus took his stood in chapter 9 says that he went and stood in the presence of God for us. and offered his own blood for the redemption of the world. Well, according to Ephesians, that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he took the whole world into himself. So the moment that he was dying, this man hanging on the cross next to him, both of them actually, went into the body of Christ, and they were presented together with him in paradise.
Wow.
Whether or not they, even if they would have lived for, past the time that Jesus died on the cross, it was irrelevant how long they lived. The fact is, that day, that man was going to be with Jesus in paradise.
That's really good.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, Gregory, thank you so much. You had quite a night. Harry Connick Jr. and Michael Williams. You can't have a much better night than that.
It was a good night.
That's awesome.
All right, bro. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks a lot for participating.
All right, bye.
There's Greg Amberge, ladies and gentlemen, and that will wrap up night number two of the Fall Gospel Revolution Pledge Drive with Greg's gift. That brings us to 38:20 on our way to 17:05. And as I said throughout the webcast, if you're listening on the archive, please just go to gospelrevolution.com. Check it all out. We've got the CD series, The Holy Scriptures Redefined, which we've just been talking about, that's available there. The entire 20 CD series, the Gospel Revolution Convention 2008, including this in-studio Glenn Klein online with the live in-studio audience as part of the CD series. Everybody who shares on there, and as well as the It Is Finished, you talk about No More Ten Commandments, check it out, the T-shirt, the refrigerator mattings, the bumper stickers. It'll cause a lot of discussion and create a lot of open opportunities for you to share the love of God with whomever you come across, wherever you do. Michael, better late than never, but thanks as always, buddy.
Yes, thank you, Glenn.
All right, we want to thank Sean O'Halloran for engineering and producing and call screening and taking the pledges. Joe Klein assisting in studio. We'll do it one more time for the fall pledge drive next week. In the meantime, let us hear from you at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. to let us know what you did by way of participating in our goal to be able to raise the operating budget for the next quarter for GospelRevolution.com. Until next time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!